Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lassier, and the message today is titled, The Battle of the Mind.
God's grace and His Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ be with you today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Let's start today in Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 10, Paul says, Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then amongst that accoutrement of our armor that we wear against all evil and evil forces and devils, we hear this in verse 17. Paul says, and take the helmet of salvation. So we got a helmet of salvation that goes upon our heads in the great battle against evil. Why do we need a helmet of salvation? Because the battle for us as Christians largely does take place in our minds. Do you guys have conflicting thoughts in your heads when you go through your lives? Are there opposing voices that are heard inside of you that lead in one direction towards Christ and upwards to heaven, or those things that are right, and other voices that want to lead you towards the world and sin, devil, death, and down? Well, there are voices inside of each of our heads all the time. There's a battle of the mind. So let's take a look today at the battle of the mind and see what God would teach us about it through His Word so that we can win. First of all, is there really a battle in the mind? What do you say? You guys experience this, or are you all just perfectly peaceful all the time? You know, we are the only creature that really has a battle in the mind. I'm not sure about angels, but in terms of the physical creatures, fish don't have battles in the mind. They're not swimming around wondering, worried about the future, anxious about the past, and troubled about, conflicted inside. They just swim. Birds, they're not conflicted. They just fly. Dogs, they just chew on their bone. They're not conflicted. And cats are definitely not conflicted. I don't even think they think about anything. They just sit there all day long. But human beings, you know, we have a mind because we are made in God's image that is like God's mind. And so we have a heart, we have a mind, we have a soul, we have a will, we can make decisions, we can evaluate things, we can weigh them, we can analyze them, we can make decisions, and based upon whether something's good or evil. After the fall, we got the knowledge of good and evil, and so we have a mind like God's. We're very unique that way. And our minds, if not controlled, can go completely haywire and run like a wild stallion across the plains. I mean, we have an imagination. Wouldn't it be great if we always used that well? But sometimes our imagination gets stirred up, and before long we have a little tiny problem that's whirled into a great whirling tempest and a storm, and we're filled with fears, worries, anxieties over one little thing that has now gotten out of control in our imaginations. We create movies in our minds. You know, let's say you had a bad day on Friday with the boss. He said something mean to you. All weekend long, you play the movie. That conversation over and over and over again, and each time you get better at it. And you think, what am I going to say to him on Monday when I give him a piece of my mind? But our minds are then getting stirred up to anger, bitterness, revenge, aggression, consternation. Or we can use our imagination and say, hey, but I have a vacation coming up next week. And it's going to be great, and so you're filled with joy and happiness and peace because you're looking forward to it. So our minds are filled with thoughts and imaginations and many voices. And there's a great conflict that goes on in there. This is where we're talking. Today is the battle in the mind. So as we go into that, what is the mind? Is it the brain only? No, you actually... You use your brain, that's in your body, and you use it as a tool, but really, your mind is deeper than that. Remember Lazarus and the rich man in Luke chapter 16? They died, Lazarus and the rich man, and after they died, they still had their minds, could have conversations. The rich man could see Lazarus across the great chasm in Abraham's bosom and carry on a conversation with Abraham. So your mind is not your brain, but you use your brain while you're on the earth, which obeys your mind. And the mind can then ask the brain to, like a supercomputer, give it answers. Run through your history of things and give me an answer. You know, your mind has 6,000 miles of wiring and cabling just in this little place. If it's all uncoiled, you can process 30 billion bits of information per second. And your mind can process these things actually 10 times faster than the blink of an eye. So you can use your brain as a tool, but the battle really is deeper than that. It's in the mind, in the inner man, in the heart, in the soul of your inner person. So let's talk about the conflicting thoughts that happen inside of us. Do believers and unbelievers all experience a conflict in their minds? Yeah, they do. Now, we're going to talk in a moment about how the Christian's battle is higher and different. But in terms of just regular conflict in our thoughts, believers and unbelievers can both have conflicting thoughts. And it has a huge difference for how we live our lives. For example, you can hear voices in your head that say, "You're the best. You're a winner. You can do this." Or you hear voices, "You're the worst. You're a loser. You can't do this." Don't you hear those kinds of battles inside? What a difference it makes. When I was up in Cape Cod recently with my mom, I was watching an interview of Madison Keys. You ever hear of her? She's the girl that just won the women's tennis Australian Open. And the interview I thought was really amazing because they were saying, "How did you do it? How did you beat the number one seed? You've never won a Grand Slam tournament before. Did you practice harder? Did you get better strokes? Did you work out better?" She said, "Therapy." "Therapy?" She said, "It was in my head. It was in my mind. I always had a block," she said, "about I can't win. I can't do this." And she says, "In therapy, that was worked out, and she learned to be able to play free and just enjoy herself, remove the roadblocks, and that totally changed her body, the way her body actually played her game, and she actually won." So the battle was in her head. You know, you can also lose the battle in your head too, right? I mean, that's what we really fight, negative thoughts. "You're a loser, you're the worst, you're a failure, this is never gonna work out, the future's gonna be terrible, you'll never be free of your past, and you'll fail." But how great it is if we can win the battle of the mind, even in earthly things. Remember John and Betty Duda, who went here? Their grandson, Andrew Schnocke, I kind of mentor him, and we're friends, and he's, as you know, a naval pilot in the U.S. Navy. He's gonna fly helicopters. Seahawks. And he recently told me he had to go to a training for getting captured by the enemy, going to a prison camp experience that all pilots have to go through now. And most people dread it. They consider it hell. They don't want to go. You get tortured by Navy SEALs. You're in an actual prison camp for a week. They don't give you hardly any water, no food, and you can't sleep for 7 days. People have out-of-body experiences, like 90% of the people have out-of-the-body experiences. It's tough, it's rough, it's hell week, as they would say. How did Andrew do? I guess got to boast on this guy. He said, this was terribly tough on his body. He was so bad, he went to a masseuse afterwards. And the guy was like, "What do you do? Your back is like completely nuts." He didn't tell me, he just went to a prison camp for a week. But he said, "This was a great experience." You know, it said, two men stare out through prison bars. One sees mud, another sees stars. It was in his head, he saw stars. Because when he went there, he's getting tortured by the Navy SEALs, and he's laughing at them, making jokes at them. They got even more angry. He was basically put through the ringer. He had a really rough experience, but he said, "Man, Pastor, this was just like my video game I play at home. I was literally walking around the compound saying, 'I can't believe they're paying me to do this. This is so great.'" Because he always played these kinds of games. He's like, now I get to do it for real. And he says, that mindset of the 70 or so people that were prisoners that week, officers and men, only like 3 people escaped the camp. You're supposed to try to escape. He escaped 3 times, twice at night, and he's the only guy to escape during the day. And he was the longest to stay escaped and free while the Navy SEALs tried to hunt him down. He's like, this is so cool. He'd go back and do it again. How did he do that? It's the battle of the mind. Some people had no mind for it. This is hell. He thought, I can't believe I'm getting paid to do this. How blessed and lucky I am. And he really conquered through his faith in Christ, because he knows, you know, whatever happens to me, I know where I'm going. I'm going home to heaven, if at the worst case scenario. So, you know, the battle is in our minds. Amen. We all experience it. How are you going to win? Well, let's talk about the battle for the Christian's mind. It's different from that of unbelievers. You know, unbelievers are not even in the real battle. They're not even in the real fight. Let's read about them in Ephesians chapter 4. Paul's telling Christians, this I affirm and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding. They are because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. So if you take an unbeliever's mind, a non-Christian, all it is, according to God's word, is darkness, covered in skotao, darkness, says the scriptures. They don't have any understanding. Their minds are dead. They're out of the fight. They're out of the game. In their case, says Paul, the devil has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the likeness of God. And God, since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a base mind and to an improper conduct. So for an unbeliever, they're not even in the real fight, okay? They have conflicts on earthly things, but in heavenly things, they're just captives. They're prisoners. They're not able to fight. But you, in Christ, God has come to save you. And how he saves us is he makes us to be born again. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. And the light has shone in your minds as well, to give you the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So how we get saved, part of that is that our minds are completely renewed. They're brought alive. They're filled with light. And now you have understanding to know him who is true. God, Jesus Christ, the way of the truth, what has come before you, where you are, where you're going, the way of salvation. And so you have a new mind. Remember that that guy that had that legion, thousands and thousands of demons. And Jesus cast out the devils. And what do we read in Luke 5, verse 15? It says, when the herdsmen came back, they found that man that had the demons cast out, clothed and in his right mind. Notice, when you get saved, Jesus gives you a right mind, alive, full of light. You know the truth, you see God. And as we read in 1 Corinthians 2:16, we have the mind now of Christ put inside of us as a gift. Isn't that great? Does that mean that your fight is over? That there's no war for you? No, it means rather that the fight has just begun. Unbelievers can have conflicting thoughts and earthly things and fight, like if you're winning a Wimbledon tennis match, but they can't do anything in the heavenlies. We Christians fight against, as we read there a moment ago, evil forces, the devil, demons, the world, sin, and the battle takes place in our heads. Paul says that battle, this is how it went for him. Every time I want to do right, says Paul, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law, at war with the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin in my members. And he says, Jesus Christ will save me, but there's the battle. In our minds, don't you feel it? There are some thoughts leading you upwards towards Christ and the way of truth, and others trying to lead you back to the world and downwards towards death. For the desires of the flesh, says Paul, are against the Spirit. The desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you would. So there's the battle. How do we win the fight? Well, the first thing we got to do according to Scripture, is take the helmet of salvation. What's that mean to you? Take the helmet of salvation. Is it good to just read about the helmet? Look at the helmet? What do you got to do? You got to take it and, I know it looks ridiculous, but put the helmet on. Okay, ridiculous, but you put the helmet on your head. In other words, God says, I want you to guard your minds. Be vigilant. Constantly watch your thoughts and guard them in my truth according to my salvation and my promises to you in the Word. Do you do that? What happens if we go on autopilot in our minds and we don't actually engage and we're just spectators and we just kind of drift through life on autopilot? What happens to your mind? It starts to spin out of control, right? It goes back towards the old ways. The devil comes and shoots fiery arrows at them to poison our minds and lead us back towards evil. Think about this. On Friday, you go to work. Your boss says a mean word to you. Maybe you shouldn't have said it. Maybe you should have, whatever. But you go home and what do? Oh my goodness, I think about that. Oh, that was terrible. This is what I could have said to him. And the demons, and just letting your mind go, whirls it up into a tempest far bigger than it ever was. And what do you find? The heart follows the mind, and you get agitated, angry, want to seek revenge. You get bitter. You're completely unsettled, and there's a storm inside of you. What does Jesus say? What does God say to us? 2 Corinthians 10, no, take every thought captive to obey Christ. Don't let that get out of control. Instead of letting it just go on autopilot and the devils stir you up, bring the Word of God to bear. That's the helmet we wear. Bring the Word into the situation. Be renewed and transformed by the renewal of your minds. And so put the Word of God in there. Okay, this guy was very mean to me on Friday, but what does the Lord say? Forbear one another in kindness and patience. Forgive. Do right. Trust your soul to a faithful Creator. And things like that. It's almost as if that old picture, you have an angel on one shoulder and a devil on the other. Remember that picture? Well, Christ is over here and the devil's over here saying, he's saying, get revenge, get angry, stir you up, make a storm. Jesus says, forgive, do the right thing, trust me, I'll work it out. And Jesus then comes and stills that storm in your mind and quiets down your heart and your mind. You're again clothed and in your right mind. So put the Word of God before you. Replace all that evil. You got to fight to do it. And keep your mind on the Word of God. Secondly, Jesus says, pray. That's part of the spiritual armor as well. Pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, keeping alert with all perseverance. The devil is shooting arrows at his friends. They're called flaming torches of poison-tipped arrows. He wants to hit you, and that's very hard to fight. What we need to do is put a shield over our heads, like a helmet, called prayer, to deflect all of these. And you can put out those fires just simply through prayer. Have you ever been driving down the road and someone cuts you off? Your first thought of your mind says, there's a storm brewing, and it quickly wants to build up. How about saying, God, that person must be having a really bad day. Would you please bless them and not curse them and help them to quiet down and do right? Guard my thought, Lord, in your truth. Lead me in thy word, which is truth. And God will quiet that down. The devil can't handle prayer. Head him off at the pass. Don't let him get into you. Thirdly, God says, not only that, but when you pray, listen to me. Listen to the Holy Spirit. You know, all who are led by the children of all who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. Amen. Do you ever listen to God in prayer? The worst thing we can do is just watch YouTube all day long. What's that going to do? Stir up your minds, watching your phones and letting things get out of hand. I kind of look at it like the anthills. You ever see those fire anthills? And everything is all peaceful and calm. You ever take a little stick and just stir it up a little bit? just a little tiny bit, what does that happen? All of a sudden, the whole place is erupted. Everything is in chaos, it seems. The ants all come out, and that's the way the devil wants to work. Listen to me instead, says God. I'll quiet down that storm. Usually what I hear in my mind are scriptures come to mind, but sometimes it's just a direct word. Like when my dad was passing away, will my dad be okay? Is he saved? God, the Spirit speaks to me. You've heard him make the good confession, Greg. He's confessed Jesus as his Savior. He's with me. It's okay. Will I be okay financially? Oh no, the storm is beginning. Will we be able to make our bills? He says, seek first my kingdom. These things shall be yours as well. Am I really saved, Lord? Are you casting me off? He says, this I know, that God is for me. Remember Psalm 56, Greg. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and you are secured and sealed in the Holy Spirit. So when we listen to the devil, you can tell when you're listening to demons or the world, because you get agitated, seek revenge. You're unsettled, you're fearful, you're anxious, you're troubled. When you listen to God, the Holy Spirit, he quiets that storm. You feel clear and calm and confident and courageous and strong, and you see God again and the way of salvation. So listen to God in your prayers as well. And fourthly would be this, take charge. And the Bible says, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Do you set your minds on it, or are you going on autopilot? What do you think? Those who live according to the flesh, Romans 8, set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. So we are called to not be an autopilot, but to take manual control and aggressively, if necessary, set your mind on the Spirit and those things that are above. To set the mind on the flesh is death, says Paul, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. So we just got to recalibrate back according to God's truth and his word. So how do we do that? Well, there's a lot of ways and there's a lot of little tricks maybe, but here's one that I found helpful, is to ask yourself the right questions. You know, like I said a few moments ago, the brain is like a supercomputer. Whatever question you ask it, it's going to run through all of its files and find everything to back up and answer your question. What if you start asking your brain questions like this? You say, why can't I ever win? Why is everyone against me? Why am I such a failure? What might happen to me that's troubling in the future? Is God even for me? Has he cast me off? Am I even saved? What's your mind going to do? Pretty soon you're going to say, oh me, oh my, I feel so terrible. Well, duh, no wonder you feel terrible. You asked the wrong questions, and your brain is giving you answers. Instead, with your spirit, guiding your mind to ask your brain the right questions, ask questions instead like these. You can say, what can I be thankful for right now? God, haven't you rescued me from troubles in the past? Why should this Goliath be any different from any of the ones that came before? Am I not more than a conqueror through him who loved me? What promises of God apply to me right now? How might God be using this situation to be refining me right now as silver is refined and that I come out like pure gold? If the Holy Spirit could speak to me right now, what encouragements might I hear? How should I take courage and be of good cheer before him in Christ? And am I not a more than a conqueror through him who loved me? If God be for me, who can be against me? If you ask better questions, friends, you're going to get better answers. So ask good questions and direct on manual your mind. And pretty soon you're going to be able to go into a prison camp and say with Andrew, man, this is great. I can't believe this. I can't believe they're paying me. This is how blessed am I. And even better, you'll be able to say with Paul through all of his sufferings and troubles, even despite all these, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. But let's remember, friends, the battle is in the mind. It's not outside of you. Two men stare out through prison bars, same situation. One sees mud, another sees stars. Ask the right questions. God, through His Spirit, will put into your mind the right answers, and your heart will respond with good cheer, confidence, courage, and peace. So in conclusion today, let's remember how God saved us. It's not just by random chance. It's because God's mind is towards you for good, for salvation. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles 16, God is mindful of His covenant forever, of the word that He commanded for 1,000 generations. And what is His mind towards you? God so loved you, the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. God says, this is my mind towards you. I destined you. I knew you before I created the world. I destined you to be my sons and to sit with me in my throne in the kingdom to come. Let that be in your mind, for that's what's in my mind. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts towards you are salvation, peace, forgiveness, and freedom in Jesus Christ. And we'll learn to say, when we hear from the Lord, I am with you always to the close of the age, and we'll say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So till then, friends, let's fight the good fight of the faith. We'll fight until we leave this world. Wear that helmet of salvation, though. It will protect your minds. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the knowledge and in the love of Jesus Christ. And He will. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called The Battle of the Mind, a broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the old Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our souls. God bless you.